This Galactic Netcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of digital audiobooks featuring more than 100,000 titles to choose from. For you, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Go to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts to sign up today.
Interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It's Wednesday, March 26, 2014. Welcome to another Galactic Netcast. This is the Alien Invasion number 100! Give yourself a round of applause. Pat yourself on the back. We made it to 100. There we go. Yeah. Okay, before we continue, let's do the introduction, because that's the most important part. In Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, I'm Dave Nelson. Joining me, as always, is Brad Ludwig from Wausau, Wisconsin, and Anessa Moyens from Denton, Texas. Now, can somebody tell me what's different about that introduction? Can you guys identify that?
You're in Ottawa, Canada.
A whole other country. Can you believe it?
I was going to say phrasing. But I guess that wasn't it.
I'm in another country and another time zone, and I was doing the math. This is the fourth location I've done our show from, or fourth city I've done our show from. Because we started in Wausau, where Brad is, yep. Then I went to Waterloo, and then I went to the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Now I'm in a whole other country, a whole other city. So that's kind of cool, right? Right.
Bam.
Okay. All right.
Damn
well,
right.
Happy 100. This is the podcast where we talk about beings from elsewhere in the universe and their appearances in film, TV, video games, comic books, science, and in real life. The show is divided into three sections: the news, the creature feature. That's the spotlight of a certain kind of alien, either from a movie, TV show, book, video game. Or the kind that people have actually claimed to have seen or been abducted by. We record the show every week live on the YouTube or the Google Plus Hangout. If you want to find out when and where that's going to be, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google Plus, and you'll get notified as to that information. So back to you guys. You guys had a fun little last week or so, or less than a week, right?
Yes,
we
took a trip to Chicago, and we got to see a live production of Welcome to Night Vale, which is another podcast that it's kind of like Twilight Zone meets Lake Wobegon.
It's a fiction. It's fiction. It's all fiction, right?
Yeah, it's basically like radio theater almost, like from back in the day. Except they're using a podcast. It's a scripted show. There is essentially one main character, Cecil Baldwin, and he is... And he is an announcer for the city of Night Vale, which is a town that has very strange things going on, and he reports things happening at that moment in time during his show. So you, the listener, get to hear the show that he does on that particular day. The podcast comes out
twice
a month, the 15th and the 30th of every month. And it's a very interesting show. And it took off and gained so much popularity that they were able to do a traveling show at theaters around the country. So,
what else did you guys do in Chicago while you were together?
Now that we're done talking about another podcast, Dave?
Yeah. No. I welcome our podcast brothers. It's okay. We're good. So, Chicago, what else did you guys do?
Skydeck. That was very interesting. actually noticed that while we were standing in line to take pictures on the sky deck at night, that one of the glass panels had a crack through it.
Oh, that's disturbing. That's a little worrisome.
It was. It
as
wasn't
long as the base
bad.
Didn't have a crack,
yeah.
Then...
yeah. But and I have a problem with heights, so we're standing there, and this airplane is flying over this part of Chicago, and the plane is at just the right spot where it illuminated the crack in the corner of one of the glass panels. And I'm like, oh, boy. All right, need to keep calm. I can do this. I know I have a problem with heights, but we can definitely stand in the cube that's jutting out from the side of, you know, 103 stories up in the air, and we can take our pictures. So there's far more to this story, and maybe we'll visit that some other time. But other interesting things happened while we were waiting to get to the sky deck.
Okay, so Chicago trip part two next time on the Alien Invasion podcast. How about that?
Yes.
All right, let's dive in to the news. I'm Rusty, so I forgot that we had an intro for this.
In the news.
And who's first? Looks like Brad.
I am first. So I don't know if you guys have been following Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And if you are following Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and you're not caught up, you may want to stop listening here, because there is going to be a spoiler, and I will let you know as soon as I get to the spoiler part.
Okay. Before you dive into it, Brad, when was the last new episode, or what was the last new episode about?
The last new episode, I believe, was 3 weeks ago. It was titled Tahiti.
Oh, okay.
So it's been about 3 weeks.
Okay. All right, I'm caught up. Go ahead.
No, it wasn't Tahiti.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Yeah,
it
you're
was
right.
With Lady Seth.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Shoot, you're right. That was called Yes Men, that episode. Yeah, you're right. So this actually deals with a little bit from what happened with the episode at the end of the episode Tahiti. So, but like I said, I'll let people know when we get to the spoiler part. This story is from IO9, and Joss Whedon likes to work with certain people. He gets along with certain people very well, and he will call upon some of these folks to work in other projects. And he has tapped the character, the actress Amy Acker, who played the character Fred in Angel. And she's going to be joining for at least one episode, and it turns out she is playing the cellist that he was dating before he was killed. Now, she was mentioned in the Avengers when he came to give Tony Stark information for what was happening with the or the reason why the Avengers had to get together with the Tesseract thing that was going on. But it's briefly mentioned that he's dating a cellist, and that, you know, just to kind of give a more human face to Coulson. And we've heard mentions of this cellist a couple of times in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, but now we're actually going to meet her, and the actress is Amy Acker that's going to be playing her.
Brad, I have a question.
Yes.
How is this related to the Alien Invasion podcast? Is there aliens involved with her character? Or
This portion isn't. This is kind of leading up, and this is also slated to be in the same episode. And here's where we get to the spoiler part.
Okay.
If you did not see the episode Tahiti, you're going to want to see that and then listen to this next part here, because there is going to be a spoiler. So part two of this episode is going to be airing on the 22nd of April. At the end of Tahiti, and again, here's the spoiler if you haven't seen Tahiti, Coulson is looking for an elixir, a certain drug that was injected into him that helped with his recovery, that saved his life, because Skye is in a very dire situation and she is dying. When he gets to the area where this particular special drug is kept, you find out that it's being actually siphoned from a portion of a blue-skinned alien body. Now, the spoiler is, during an interview that the actress who plays Skye, Chloe Bennett, sorry, I blanked on her name. She actually mentioned during this interview that it's actually one of the Kree, which are a blue-skinned alien race. And I called it. I totally called it. The Kree aliens are significant in the Marvel Universe in that they've fought on the Earth for a number of times. They're an Avengers villain. They're also kind of loosely tied to the Fantastic Four, very loosely, but only because they fight the aliens that the Fantastic Four have dealt with more often than not.
Have we had them as a creature feature before, Brad?
And actually, one of the Kree becomes Marvel's Captain Marvel. So, anyways, so it's kind of an interesting revelation that it is, in fact, one of the Kree aliens from the Marvel Universe.
Have we talked about them before on this show?
The Kree?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I did briefly, and one of my picks was, I believe, the Death of Captain Marvel graphic novel, like a long time ago, an early, early episode of the Alien Invasion.
Okay.
He is a Kree alien. He managed, and I can't remember how they wrote it into continuity, but he started out being a blue-skinned alien, and then he all of a sudden wasn't. I don't remember how they explained that, but Captain Marvel was his name, became Captain Marvel to the humans, and he actually kind of moved away from the warring Kree alien race that he was a part of and became a defender of humans on Earth. So
it seems, and I've read this also, that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is really ramping up their whole, that they're getting more immersed into the Marvel Universe, it sounds like.
Yeah, I would say, and I know that Anessa and I have been watching it together through the magical powers of the internets. It started out kind of working to establish the universe, and it was a little slow. And they did revamp things, and it's really picked up and really started to tie into some things. Whether or not that was planned to be that way, I don't know. I know that you have to do world building to have human beings reach that level. And we talked about this before, to reach the level of superheroes. You know, they don't have superpowers. They don't have – you have to care about them. There has to be something for you to latch on to, and the only way to do that is world building and starting to tell the stories of these individual people and why we should care about them and how they could actually go toe-to-toe and be a part of a world filled with superheroes. So it's kind of interesting that now we're getting to a point where that is starting to happen.
And a lot of involvement with Captain America, the Winter Soldier, too, I think. There's going to be a tie-in between the show and the movie, right?
Yes, there is. So, they're definitely going to be – and I think that was their goal all along, is to have another gateway to get people interested in the movies and then also use the movies to get people interested in the TV show. And, you know, Disney isn't stupid. They've got a property where they can make a lot of money, and if they can do it in multiple arenas – and, you know, we've also seen that they've partnered up with Netflix to work with some of their properties that just – will never actually get a TV show, and they're grittier heroes where, you know, you can't really have that on network television, like Daredevil,
yep.
Power Man, and what, Iron Fist.
Yeah, I think
Iron
that's,
Fist.
Yeah.
They work a darker side of the street, and they're finding ways to monetize that, and it's happening for them.
Yeah,
so.
They have a plan. They definitely have a plan. Did you watch the special that aired last week? I think it was on ABC about that whole building up of the Marvel, all the movies and all the properties, and getting them all together into one cohesive thing.
Yep. No, absolutely. That. We've been kind of sad because they haven't had new episodes, and I checked Hulu and I'm like, oh, they do have the special in here, and they listed it under Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yep. on Hulu. So, yep. Yeah, we definitely watched it.
And Tuesday.
Brad squeezed the entire time.
I did. they teased the next bit, and I'm like, and I found that there's one Marvel one-shot that I hadn't seen. The one-shots are the little extra episode, sort of a smaller bit that they have that kind of also works on world building that they have in the DVDs. Like a funny thing happened on the way to Thor's hammer, which is the one where they really bring life to the Coulson character. That's one of the best ones I think that they have, but there was one that I hadn't seen. So now I have to go back through my DVDs and find where that one is.
Is it the one with what's his face as the character from Iron Man 3?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nope. I've got that one.
Oh, is it the one? I'm going to keep on going. Which one is it?
You know, and right now I'm thinking about it. I can't remember. I don't remember which one it was. I've seen item 47. Which
was it
is
the one that they were in the bar?
Yeah. It was a bar or cafe, something like that.
I think it was a bar because I remember there was something like a counter to one side of them and they were facing each other talking.
Yeah, you're right. And I thought I watched all the extras on all the DVDs, but I guess I missed one. So
shame on you. I'm going to take away one comic book cred from you, Brad, just for that lack of. Sorry, got to do it.
Okay.
All right, is that it? We done
yes.
talking about that? All right, cool.
Yes, we're done talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and blue-skinned aliens.
No, I'm looking forward to the next new episode. Tuesday, I believe, is the next new one. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Let's move on to story number two, and it's me. Have you guys heard of this movie, Earth to Echo?
Nope.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's I just recently appeared on my radar, and it's interesting concept. It reminds you a lot of 1980s movies like The Goonies, E.T., a lot of E.T. influence, Batteries Not Included.
Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah, a lot of those type of movies, and it's coming out on July 2nd. And basically, it's about a bunch of kids, and something goes weird with their phones, and I believe they hear about or see like an object fall from the sky, and they go investigate, and they get on their bikes. And they find this little alien in this barn, and it's cute. It's like one of the cutest aliens that you'll ever see. And they try to communicate with it. Eventually, they figure out how to, you know, talk to them. And then the government gets involved, as they always do. And basically, it's one of those where we're saving the alien. He wants to get back home. I don't think he says phone home ever. Because that would be a blatant ripoff of E.T., but it's very, very E.T.-ish. And they just released the trailer for it. It comes out on July 2nd, and I would encourage all of you to check it out. Earth to Echo is the name of the movie.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would actually want to see that, maybe not in the theater, but maybe on DVD or, you know, download somewhere. I'm not a kid, but I think it speaks to the kid in all of us. So,
right, it would be a good Redbox movie then for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Or whatever the Canadian equivalent
they
is.
They do have Redboxes. They do.
Oh, they do.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
They have. You would be amazed at how many things that Canada has that America also has.
Obviously, probably not, because they're like, I'm like, they're our hat.
What are you talking?
They're quite a bit like us as far as I would imagine products and stuff goes.
Yeah, it mostly goes, the products and services mostly go from south to north and not a whole lot north to south.
Well, there's not a whole lot north.
No, there's not. And there's a whole lot more people south than north. I mean,
yeah, the bulk of the Canadian population live close to the border and very little lives very far north because there's not really a whole lot of stuff that you can do. It's cold and icy and too hard to farm.
So. Yeah, exactly. So, definitely Redbox material for that movie. Of these that I mentioned, the E.T., the Goonies, Explorers, Super 8, which one was your guys' favorites growing up? Not necessarily Super 8, because that just came out a couple of years ago, but
the other ones.
Still haven't seen Super 8, so I can't even.
Oh, boy.
That's a definite homage to those 80s movies, right, Brad?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Man.
Probably the one that really sticks in my head would be the Goonies.
Wow. See, during that time, that's mid to late 80s, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, E.T. was early, 1982, I believe, or 83.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you say?
Because, I've seen E.T., Batteries Not Included, and The Goonies, but out of those that I've seen, The Goonies is the one that's kind of stuck with me the most. Remembering stories, the storyline. Because I haven't seen E.T. since I was a kid. Same thing with Batteries Not Included. So.
Now, what was the story of Batteries Not Included? Was that a robot in that movie, or what was the deal?
It wasn't really a robot. I don't remember. I remember there was this little flying contraption that had some sort of consciousness or something. Like I said, it's been since I was a kid.
Okay. All right.
So it's been at least like 20, 25 years since I've seen it.
Maybe after the show, I'll Google it and find
out. You're asking the wrong person. Like I said, the only one that stuck with me is The Goonies and E.T. Phone Home, and that was about it.
You know what I was thinking? This would be a great movie to take your kids and then have them watch all these other ones, you know? If they liked this, then you bring out the DVDs, you know, you dust off the DVDs or you rent them and you watch the ETs and all these other ones. Because I think it definitely has the feel of these movies.
Man, I didn't see a whole lot of movies in the movie theater as a kid, really. Not that I can recall.
Really? I feel sorry for you, Brad.
I mean, I saw Star Wars when it came out.
Yeah, who didn't?
Back in my day, we saw Star Wars in the theater.
Remember?
A New Hope.
Remember when that came out, and shortly after they talked about the whole trilogy and the quad. What's the three trilogies called? There's a name for that, right?
The three trilogies?
Yeah, the six movies all total. The quad something. Isn't it a quad something? Or am I getting that wrong? That's a four thing. Never mind.
That's quad is four.
Yeah. Anyways, I remember them talking about that really early
sex
on.
Six would be six.
Yeah. Is there nine sound to it? Is there nine?
What?
I don't know.
Are we doing Latin numbers? Sorry. I was watching the trailer and I'm like, yeah, it was little discs that were flying around. That's what I remember. Little discs. And people were like, oh, what are you?
Okay.
And they discover batteries are not actually part of the setup.
That makes sense. All right.
So, yeah. Like, that's all I remember. I'm like, it's a little disc thing flying around. Are you doing Latin numbers? Is that what we're doing?
I don't know. You know, let's not
Un,
even continue.
Duo, tre,
it's nine. What's
not? Quinque, sex, septum, octo, noum, decum. If you're doing 1 through 10.
Okay.
Decum.
All right. Let's
thank you, Latin teacher in high school.
Let's wrap that up and move on to the next story, shall we? I think we're done. I think we're done.
Yeah,
talking
we're
about
done.
That. All right. So, Anessa. Anessa, I like this story a lot because I'm a big fan of a good lager, a good ale, and I like Star Trek. So it's everything that's great meeting up in one story. So go ahead.
I'm kind of surprised you didn't pick it, Dave.
Well, I was kind of holding off on that story. I thought that somebody else would pick it for Sci-Fi Geeks Club, but I'm glad that you. I'm glad somebody picked it for whatever show that we're doing. So go ahead.
Oh, because I'm like, I saw it and I'm like, huh, Dave didn't pick this story. Okay, I will do it. So you can drink like a Klingon warrior with Star Trek inspired beer.
And this is it's sold by CBS too, right? It's their like merchandise division or something like that.
I believe it just gets their stamp of approval. I don't think it's actually sold by them.
Oh, okay.
It says any Star Trek fan will tell you that it's best not to approach a drunken Klingon, but if you have to, you might as well get a little liquid courage from the new Star Trek inspired beer, Klingon Warnog. Excuse me. According to CNET, the beer comes from the Tin Man Brewing Company in Indiana, thanks to partnership with Canadian Marketer Federation of Beer, which has the official Star Trek stamp of approval. The Warrior Races brew will have a sweet and distinctive flavor fit for only the galaxy's strongest fighters. Warnog's aroma is predominantly mild banana and clove produced by the German wheat yeast, supported by subtle and sweet malt character from the use of Munich malt, according to a product announcement on StarTrek.com. The flavor draws heavily from the blending of the rye malt and traditional clove character, creating a very rich and unique flavor. The inclusion of wheat and caramel malts help to round out the mouthfeel of this beer, making this Dunkelweizen hearty enough to be called a Klingon Warnog. According to The Guardian, Klingon Warnog was consumed in television series Star Trek The Next Generation from 1987 to 1994 and Star Trek Deep Space Nine. There's no official word on when the new drink will be available to U.S. consumers, but fans are encouraged to check the Federation of Beer for updates. And Federation previously brewed another Star Trek-themed beer, Vulcan Ale.
Oh, I was going to mention that because that just became available where I am here. I haven't found it yet, but I heard it somewhere. I read it somewhere. I heard it somewhere that Vulcan Ale is available Canada-wide now, so I'm on the search for it.
Well, there you go.
I was going to ask you,
Ness. It sounds like a really interesting flavor, like mild banana and clove.
I wonder if it's got an earthy scent to it. Remember from Star Trek Deep Space Nine, the episode, the Tribble episode? And I think it was O'Brien was... I think it was O'Brien and Bashir. They were playing a joke on Worf, asking or something about how Klingons smell. And they said, "Ooh, you kind of have an earthy aroma to you." So I was kind of maybe an earthy aroma to it.
I keep looking at the banana and I go, "Well, you know, prune juice was always the warrior's drink, according to." Worf. So yeah. I could see how it's some kind of fruit flavored. Yeah, I'd rather be punched in the groin. But yeah.
I was thinking, what other races could they make beverages for next? Because you got
Romulan.
Romulan? You got the Romulan ale already from the TV show, right?
Yeah.
Ferengi something, maybe?
Ferengi. So we've got Vulcan Ale, which is out. We've got this Klingon that's coming out. We know that Romulan Ale exists. Oh, see, they have to make a Tronyak.
What was that?
Nice.
What was that from? I forget.
That's the first Federation episode with little Clint.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Clint Howard.
Clint Howard.
Yeah.
Would you like some Tronyak?
Didn't there was something they drank on Deep Space Nine, I believe. Something with elderberries, elderberry wine, I think. That was what the Dominion drank it. Or the Dominion, like, traded with the Ferengi for elderberry wine. So maybe they get, we do a wine next or somewhere down the line.
I don't know. Looking at Tin Man Brewing Company's website, which is tinmanbrewing.com, they definitely have, they've got, I love the beer names. You've got Circuit, which is a Bohemian Pilsner. You've got Alloy, which is an American Pale Ale. You've got Rivet, which is an Irish Red Ale. And then you've got Overlord, which it's an Imperial IPA.
Okay. I was wondering if there's an IPA in the list, IPA somewhere on the list. I love IPAs.
Yep. Oh, they're just too dry, too bitter.
Oh, you're crazy.
I can't get behind.
You're crazy.
I could do the Irish Red Ale, and I could probably do Rivet and Circuit, but pale ales, not so much.
The bitter, the better. Ugh. In my beer.
No. There's only so much bitter I can tolerate.
Okay. All right. And, you know, for each his own. That's why there's so many different flavors and types of beer. So,
yeah.
You know?
It's a fact.
To satisfy the population, whatever their taste may be.
Word.
All right. So look for Klingon, what's it called? Warnog. Warnog! Kapla! Kapla! Warnog!
I think if you drink a lot of prune juice, you get the kaplas.
I hate when I get the kaplas. I'm in the bathroom all day.
Yes, you have that checked out.
Oh, boy.
All right, okay. Let's move on to the creature feature. But before we do, we would like your thoughts on the stories that we've covered tonight or on any episode. You can leave us feedback by going to contact@galacticnetcasts.com. Also, the email address is galacticnetcasts@gmail.com, or call our voicemail number. For now, I hear that Google is dropping Google Voice, so that's going to suck.
What?
Yeah. 805-328-3966. Yeah, it's. I don't think a lot of people know that it's coming, and I think it's going to happen in the next couple of months, so get ready for that. Again, the voicemail number is 805-328-3966. Let's move on to this.
And now it's time for Creature Feature.
So this just happens to be a happy happenstance, just a coincidence. So let's stay on the subject of Star Trek with this week's Creature Feature. And we're going to talk about the Tellarites. Without looking at the document, guys, do you, either of you know who the Tellarites are? Just by
They're the hairy pig race.
Yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right. Right on the nose, huh?
Because if you're watching the video, I push my nose up because the Tellarites have a porcine appearance.
Yeah, their makeup, their prosthetics in the original series were really bad. They got better over time, like Star Trek: The Next Generation and forward. But original series not that good.
No.
So here's kind of a rundown of exactly who the Tellarites were. They were a warp capable humanoid species from the Class M planet Teller Prime. Their species was a founding member of the United Federation of Planets. In fact, they touched on that a lot in the later episodes of Star Trek Enterprise. Tellarites are shorter than humans, have distinctive snouts, as Brad was saying. They wear beards, and their hands are sometimes hoof-like in appearance. They're known to be an impatient and have stubborn pride. I love this. Tellarites also have a propensity toward strong emotion. They enjoy a good argument, which was even considered a sport on Tellar. Tellarites often begin interactions with a series of complaints. This is how they start their arguments with someone they recently met. If they have nothing to complain about, they usually just insult the person. That would be just frustrating, right? I mean, you just barely know a person, and they get like in an argument with you. Debating.
Yep.
They're a debating species. So next time you meet a Tellarite on the street, get ready to defend yourself. Your verbal war.
Since it's a sport to them, I wonder if they get into mass debates.
Is that a joke or is that a thing? That's a joke. I get it now.
Sorry, I just brought the podcast down to a three-piece level.
Boo, Brad.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so sometime before 2154, the Tellarites were in a conflict with the Andorians, and that was the episode that they were first introduced, I believe, on Star Trek, the original series. Because remember that one? It was like they found one of the Andorians dead with one of his...
Yeah, it was the murder mystery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't remember the name of the episode, though.
Did I mention it in the doc? I think maybe I did.
It's also the first time that we meet Sarek, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Good point. Yeah, you're right. You are correct, sir.
Which... boy.
Are you looking it up right now?
Yeah.
I thought I had it on here. Maybe I took it out, but it was on the original story, so maybe you just want to click on that link. It goes to Memory Alpha, and I think it's part of the article that talks about the Tellarites. No, it was a very interesting and good episode. I think you're right. It was the first introduction. It was the introduction.
Journey to Babel.
Yeah.
It looks like is the name of the episode. Yep.
And that was either the first introduction of Sarek or the one where his mother is also on the show.
No, that's that's the first time that we meet Amanda as well as Journey to Babel.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yep.
Cool. All right. So, what else are we going to talk about here with the Tellarites? I just closed my document for some reason. Like a dumbass. Hang on.
We've never seen a female one.
Yeah, no, we haven't. Weird, right?
Yep.
Maybe they're like the Ferengi. They keep them unclothed at home. It's a possibility.
That could be.
Yeah. Although we did see female Ferengi. We saw Quark's and Rom's mom. And she was, like, rebelling, and she actually had clothes on. Have we talked about Ferengi in the creature feature before? I don't remember.
I believe so.
Okay. All right.
There's a spreadsheet for that.
See, and there I don't is. Know if you've shared that with me or not.
I've shared it with you.
Really?
Like, right when it was created.
Okay. All right. As you both know, I have a very bad...
I think this has gone on, like, in a separate podcast, the same thing. I don't think you shared that with me. Yes, I have.
I have a bad memory. I'm sorry. I got a lot going on up here.
You do.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah. All right, so that's our creature feature, the Tellarites, this week on the Alien Invasion. My document's acting all weird, so I think we pretty much covered it. They did appear in most, if not all, the versions of Star Trek, all the series, and a couple of the movies too. I've got that. Yeah, multiple series episodes and movies. So if you want to kind of if you're interested in the Tellarites, find out which episodes and movies those are and watch them all in order. That'd be kind of cool to watch the progression and the history of the Tellarites on Star Trek. All right. Let's move on to our picks this week, and Bradley will start it off.
I decided to pick a short film this time, and I found a film called This Is Not a Test. And I would like to rename it to This Is Not That Good.
You know what? I think I maybe started watching that one day. For my pick.
Yeah, I think I've seen that before.
It was shot over 2 days with a $2,000 budget. It does have some special effects in it, which were done using Maya, which is a 3D rendering program. And then it was rotoscoped in using After Effects. Focuses on five people that go to a house for a kind of a small get together to watch some television, drink some beers, and just kind of shoot the breeze. And the TV like breaks from, you know, what they were watching to the test pattern and the tone saying, you know, this is an emergency, this is not a test. And everybody, or one of the main character wakes up and it's morning and everybody's all kind of passed out, and she notices that she's got a bump behind her ear and a mark there. And she goes to look, and all of Los Angeles is burned to the ground.
Oh, my God.
It's been destroyed. And from that point on, it kind of goes downhill. It has a nice setup. The emoting for what was, I mean, all of Los Angeles has kind of been burned to the ground, and we got the kind of cold reading or cold acting you kind of get from reading the ingredients on the back of a, you know, bag of Fritos. It just wasn't, there was a lot going on, and I wasn't feeling it at all. So
yeah, I did watch this, and I think maybe it was one of my picks, but it was
really?
Yeah, it was possible.
Was it one of your picks?
Yeah, it was possibly when maybe an episode that you weren't here for. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know. Like it, I've seen it before, but I don't think I ever used it as a pick.
It's okay, Brad. Yeah, we've done 100.
It's one of those,
we've done
100
of
these.
It was
like a short film that I tried to block out of my mind.
Yeah, it had a lot of promise.
There wasn't a whole lot of emotion. It's like, oh no, what's going on? Let's run over here and then let's ride our bicycles.
Because, well, all the power has been obviously, you know, if an alien race were to come to your planet, they would realize that you use energy, so they would remove you from it. So cars don't work, obviously. You can't turn on the lights in your house. You can't, you know, the cell phones don't work. Nothing's working. So everybody's kind of cut off from everybody else. So good concept. Parts of it were really well thought out, but it needed more emotion. It really, really did. I wasn't feeling the fact that everybody was cut off. It almost felt like they were all still drunk from the night before. You know, it just did.
Similar presence, yeah. Or similar premise is This Is the End. Have you guys seen that?
The movie?
Yeah, This Is the End.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Seth Rogen and...
No, I've not.
Oh, God. Yeah, I saw it. Did I rent it? I think I rented it.
It hasn't been out that long.
Yeah, got it from Redbox, actually.
It's the Pineapple Express actors. It's your
James Franco.
James Franco.
I don't like James Franco.
Who's the 21 Jump Street guy?
I love James Franco. This is not going to work. I'm sorry.
he acts like it's just one character that he acts in everything.
And you would not be disappointed for this movie because he pretty much does the same thing. They're playing themselves, but they're actually playing the characters that they played. So it's really hard to distinguish between themselves and the characters they play.
Well, the way they did it is they played themselves, but kind of amplifying aspects of themselves.
Yep.
They made, you know, they talk with Michael Cera, and Michael Cera's I just want to play a complete jackass.
And he did.
He delivered.
Oh, wow. Stephanie and I were just laughing our asses off of Michael Cera because he was just like the worst possible person that he could be. He was in that movie. It was it was great.
I want to say Zoe Saldana's in it briefly. There's so many cameos.
So
in
many.
It.
Yeah.
Rihanna's in it.
Yeah.
Emma Watson's in it.
Emma Watson's in it.
Yeah.
Emma Watson plays a great Emma Watson in that.
Yeah.
That's so weird to have to say that. Oh, she played a great version of herself in it, but that's how it worked.
But similar premise. They're in a house. They're partying. They basically, in the middle of the party, the end of the world happens for a different reason. It's not aliens. Yep. It's the rapture, basically.
Yep.
All right.
Way to spoil it for me.
Sorry.
No, like you were going to watch it.
You know, it's still good too, Vanessa.
You never know.
You'd still like it, even if you
Maybe
knew the premise.
It'll be on Netflix someday, and I'll be like, I'm bored. Play.
All right, there you go, Brad. Thank you for that pick. Let's mosey on over to Anessa's corner. What do you got for us?
I also chose a short film, but it did not suck.
Yay!
I actually recommend this one. It's called Prospect, and it premiered at the South by Southwest Film Festival this year. And it is about a girl and her father. They are on this... What?
Actually, I want to say... Oh, this is either a story or a pick. I think this was a story that we had.
Is it?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
But this is just... We were talking about it coming out. It hadn't come out yet, but now it's finally out. Nice.
Okay. Like, apparently I've forgotten.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about this. Yeah, go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, well, anyway, everybody knows about it, so it's cool.
We only saw the trailer. That's all that was available.
Tell us more, please.
Well, basically, it's about a girl and her father. They're on this planet, and they're looking for a particular mineral. I forget what it's called. Not called unobtainium. The father is basically trying to drill in her head the coordinates of where the spaceship is, if something happens, what she needs to do. And because this mineral that they're after is very, very highly sought after, and it kind of makes you think of like the California gold rush. Everybody's going out for gold, and you don't want other people to know where your mine is. And so the dad ends up getting attacked by another prospector, and she has to basically like stand up for them and whatnot. But it's actually really good. It's really well done. It's set, I believe, in a rainforest, and it's only like 13-14 minutes long, but I highly recommend it.
I think I may have seen a story about this short film maybe today or yesterday, how it was all shot in like a forest in the Northwest, like Oregon. Yep. Or Washington.
Yeah, it was near like Seattle or something.
Okay, cool. And they did it all right there. They made it look like a alien planet.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really well done. And it was just one of those things where you don't need a whole lot of special effects to make something really good, as long as you think it out and plan it out. There really wasn't much as far as, say, like CGI or anything like that. It was primarily done like right then and there live. So
yeah, a lot of times less is more. I mean, look at we keep on going back to this movie, but the original Alien, I mean, sure, there were special effects, you know, they had the spaceship models and the lights and all that stuff, but in the end it's about, you know, the suspense and the characters and the story. You know, I think it's better to have a good story and good characters, mm-hmm. compelling characters, than to have crazy like CG effects.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And while you didn't really get to learn much about the father and daughter, you did kind of see their relationship, and they have, like, this moment where he discovers that she likes to draw, like, when he's busy doing other stuff, and so he takes a look at it, and he's like, oh, that's pretty awesome. So, and they sort of start to bond, I guess, but for the most part, they're just trying to find these minerals so that way they can earn some money to live, make a living.
Money, 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 money. Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. How long is it again?
Like 13, 14 minutes.
Oh, that's
really short.
Easy. Easy peasy. You could watch that during your lunch break. All right. Thank you very much, Anessa. Good job. And my pick was a movie called Imposter. Have you guys heard of this? Imposter.
No.
Okay. I was surprised that I had not heard of it because it had a bunch of really good actors. It had, hang on one second. I didn't put that on the dot.
Oh, maybe
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Gary Sinise.
Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah.
Gary Sinise.
What's his face from ER? He played one of the doctors on ER. I was Mekhi Phifer. Mekhi Phifer.
Mekhi Phifer.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Madeline Stowe.
I've seen the cover before, so I recognize it anyway.
Yeah,
but I've not.
It's based on a Philip K. Dick story. Another Philip K. Dick story made into a movie. A lot of his stories. I mean, you got your Blade Runner, you got your Total Recall. What else? There's a couple other ones that of his stories made into movies. Anyways.
Yeah, Philip K. Dick like eventually became a schizophrenic. Like.
Yeah. No, he was. He was. But
which is why a lot of his stuff is people aren't who you think they are. Like. You know,
yeah,
Total Recall.
Yeah, I noticed that theme too, because this is another one of those again. So The Imposter is basically about, it takes place, I think, in 2070 or something like that, and Earth has been at war with these aliens for a long time. And the main character, played by Gary Sinise, is basically working for the Defense Department, building, like, super weapons. And it starts out with he and his wife just got back from a camping trip in Washington State, and during their trip up there, and they didn't know this until he comes into the office, and you kind of see it in this on the screen in the background. There's like a news story. There was a fire in the forest where they were camping. So they confront him and basically drug him and take him away and accuse him of being actually being an agent for these aliens. Like he is... A biological android of some kind with a bomb inside his chest. So during the entire movie, he's trying to prove to them he's running the whole time. He gets away finally. He's running the whole time. He's trying to disprove or prove his innocence that he's not actually an agent for these aliens. And I'm not going to give away the ending, but it's an awesome ending. You can get it either on Netflix, or we'll have the link on our picks page at galacticnetcast.com, also in the show notes of the podcast, so you can check it out as well. Highly recommend it. It's not the best one. It's no Blade Runner. It's no Total Recall, but it's up there. I've seen worse. good effects and great actors. Like we mentioned, a bunch of really high, like, some of these, they weren't quite, like Mekhi Phifer, he wasn't really that popular yet, but you had your... Vincent, how do you pronounce his last name?
D'Onofrio.
Yeah, D'Onofrio, and your Gary Sinise and Madeline Stowe. So it's called The Imposter, and from watching this, I found out that there's two proper ways to spell imposter. It's I-M-P-O-S-T-O-R or E-R. Both are accepted.
Hmm.
Yeah, there you go. That's my pick.
Interesting.
Those are our picks. We're done with picks.
Woohoo!
So that's it for this. Can you believe it? 100 episodes are in the book, man.
That's.
Yay!
I say we end it. Go out on a high note.
Heck no.
At least wait till 101.
Okay. All right. So next week will be the last episode. So there's no need to subscribe to the podcast by going to galacticnetcasts.com/subscribe. There's no need for that. You don't have to, because next week will be the last episode. No, I'm kidding. We'll do another episode. Galacticnetcasts.com is our official website. And like I said, you can go there and subscribe. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're all over the place. You can also reach out to us on the social networks, Twitter, Google+, and Facebook. Just search Galactic Netcasts and join the community, you know. Listen to us. We've also recently launched a Facebook group. So go to the group page, join it, and you can contribute articles that maybe we'll talk about on the show. So that's going to do it. Before we leave, before we get out of here, final thoughts as always. Who's first? Anessa, Brad? I forget.
It's me.
It's me.
I'm really looking forward to the Matthew McConaughey. Oh, now, of course, you put me on the spot, and I forget the name of the damn movie.
Interstellar, or yeah, Interstellar.
Yes, Interstellar. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm really, really, and it, the one of the executive producers, as I recall, is a physicist who's worked with wormholes.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's his bailiwick. That's what he does. So this is going to be a well thought out science heavy.
Plus, it's
maybe not science heavy, but it's going to be based in actual science.
Christopher Nolan is director producer, and it's a movie that takes place in space. There's not too many of those anymore. So maybe that's a good sign. Maybe it's a sign that we'll be seeing more movies in space. One could hope.
And have you been watching Cosmos?
Yes. Oh, so good. So good. I love it.
I almost picked one of my stories for today for actually, I'm going to be using it on the Sci-Fi Geeks Club about Cosmos.
Cool. All right. So if you want to find out what that is, listen to the next episode of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Yeah, next week on Cosmos, they're going to talk about time travel, which I'm really excited for.
Yes, they are.
All right. Anessa, your final thought.
I could use a nap.
Oh, okay. I will let you take a nap after the next show that we have to record next.
Thanks.
It will be time for bed.
Or you can take a nap during the show, because, I mean, there's a lot of people on the show. I mean, a lot of hosts. You don't have to talk all the time, so just take a quick cat
nap. And I
nap.
Don't. Take a nap.
All right. Cool. Okay. That's going to do it for this Alien Invasion podcast. Till next time, we'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye. Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.